All right, quick word about Troll Co. Clothing. Here's what I actually love about this brand. It was started by two guys who worked the oil patch. Not marketers, not guys with corporate pitch decks. Workers. They looked around and could not find any clothing that represented the life they were living. So they made it themselves. Workwear, tees, hoodies, hats. Good quality stuff. The whole brand is built around a phrase you have probably heard. Dirty hands, clean money. The idea that hard, honest work is how you build a good life. And I think most people listening to this show understand that better than they're ever given credit for by the sports media machine. So if you want your gear from a brand that actually means something and was not assembled by a focus group, go check them out. Trollco.com/Zabe. That's TROLLCO.com/Zabe. And use code ZABE25 for 25% off your first order. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
This is the ZabeCast, hosted by a Pop-Tart loving kid from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia. And since you probably have other, more important podcasts to waste your time on, screw those AirPods in tight and let's go.
Here we go. It's been too long since I checked in with my boy Andy Pollin, and we're recording a touch early on a Monday. Because Andy said something to me that I don't think I've ever heard him say. Can we go early today? Because I really want to watch the soccer game tonight. You and about 50 million other Americans, probably, when it's all said and done. This game against Belgium is going to do monster numbers. Do you have a watch party? Can I come over, Andy? Can I bring some beer? What are we doing?
No, I'll probably be watching it alone, but on top of the fact we've never won in this round, I think we've gotten there once before. Was it 2002?
Correct.
This is beyond, especially with the developments over the weekend. It's beyond a sports story.
Oh, now. It's a spectacle.
It's enormous.
It's enormous. Yes, yeah. And I asked you, as a man who let's just say didn't vote for Trump. Do you at least feel good that he got our guy free? You know, he got Brittany Griner out of Russia. He got Flo Balogun out of hock with FIFA. Come on, Andy. Guy's done a couple things right.
Well, the question here is, and I'm not going to go too deep on this, but it's, did the ends justify the means?
Yes.
That's to be debated.
It's not to be debated. In fact, somebody said on Twitter, this was a great tweet. They said, look, the fact that you're doing everything you can to lobby FIFA to give you a break is exactly what every other soccer power in the world would do and has done. From Argentina to Spain to France to Portugal, they all do this shit. It means we finally arrived, Andy, on the soccer stage at the highest level. We are in on the bribing of FIFA. FIFA put this whole tournament in December, when it never is in December, jacked up all the schedules of the international soccer bodies just to have it in Qatar, where you know they bribed the fuck out of FIFA. So,
yeah. Well, you can ask. There's nothing wrong with asking.
Okay.
It's
you're employing the George Michael. You know, people are saying. Does the end justify the means?
Well, he asked, but it doesn't mean it had to happen, and it is unprecedented.
I know.
Because when it happened the last time in 1962, I believe the rules were different. So
correct. Although I would say that, you know, people are ignoring the fact that what's his name for Portugal, Ronaldo, should have missed the first two games of this World Cup because of a red card from a previous qualifying match leading up to this, and they just kind of waved that off as well. So there's a lot of funny rules. I'm just looking forward to a cracking good soccer match. Did you watch the England-Mexico match?
I didn't stay up for that. I did see Thor Heyerdahl from
Thor Heyerdahl? You mean Erling Haaland? H-A-A-L-A-N-D?
Well, I mean, look, the
who is Thor Heyerdahl, by the way? Who are you quoting?
Yeah,
here?
Whatever. The point I'm making is most of the players, including ours, are naturalized citizens. They're from other places. This is a guy who looked like he's from Norway. You could probably walk down the street in Norway, and there's 400 guys that look like that.
Not only looks like he is from Norway, people said this is like they had a close-up of his face looking kind of fierce after the goal, and they said, if you're living in 1400, this is the final thing you see before somebody splits your head open with a battle axe in Norway.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, the three of them are descended. They all have dads who played for the national team. And I'm sorry, when I say the three of them, it's him and two other guys on the team. They all have dads who played for Norway's team. So they've got a strong lineage there. Look, every federation does it different. You know why France is such a machine? It's because they have this huge influx of African, North African players by way of immigration and by their former colonization of the continent. So they are able to claim these guys like Mbappe, and then they develop them at a very young age. They pull them aside. They make sure to get them the coaching. They make sure to give them the education. They make sure they don't burn out on soccer at a young age. Like, they've got a developmental machine in France, which is why they're so good. Other countries do it a bit different. We at least figured out, hey, this guy Flo Balogun, kind of technically an anchor baby because his mom was denied a flight out of the country because she was pregnant.
Right.
So we'll take him. They say, though, that he wasn't going to be good enough to play for England. I'm not so sure about that. I think he could play for anybody.
Yeah, and we're doing it the way that Joe Gibbs did it the second time around.
That's
free
right.
agency. That's bringing him in.
Or
but,
better
but
yet.
Coach.
Yeah, better yet, the way Gibbs did it during the strike. Remember he went to a prison in Tennessee to get a guy on parole?
That was scab players. Actually, that was Bobby Bethard who got ahead of the curve. He knew it was coming, and he had these guys lined up. So as soon as the strike hit, they were bringing those guys in. Other teams, like Buddy Ryan, he didn't even want to coach him. He's like, get these guys out of here.
Really? Yeah. Well,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we could be headed for the bad old days of a work stoppage next year. This is going to be the All-Star weekend. Well, not the All-Star weekend. This is the last week of baseball play before the All-Star game. Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at possibly next year there being a huge lockout. Let's put that aside for a second. So did you watch any of the England-Mexico game?
A little, and I saw the highlights this morning.
Okay. All right. It was a hell of a game. Very exciting. The stadium was electric. Do you know that Mexico's record in that stadium is something absurd? Have you heard the number?
I did not.
They're 57-2-17 draws at Stadia Azteca in competitive international matches.
That's a home field advantage, I would say.
And yes.
I'm not an expert on soccer, but I can deduce that.
Thank you, Ken Silverstein. Yes. That's an inside joke to a former colleague of mine. Yeah, I guess I should. Ken Silverstein, a.k.a. Kimo Sabe, just the personification of an easygoing but kind of cheesy radio guy with a cheesy 70s mustache. Would always wear the cheapest giveaway gear he got. He once had a Southwest Conference windbreaker that he wore at One-on-One Sports in 1994 when I first met him. And it was like fading, you know, the old Southwest Conference. And he would say things like, hey, pal, you know, he had that kind of like, hey, you know, I'll tell you what. He had a great voice for radio, but he played it up as kind of a cheese ball. And so when I told Andy, when I came back to DC, I'm like, hey man, I worked with Ken Silverstein in Chicago. You said, Andy, Ken Silverstein.
Well,
I know him from San Antonio.
No, actually Dallas.
Oh, Dallas.
And
okay.
What happened was my news director had left San Antonio to go to Dallas, where he inherited Ken Silverstein. And after a few months, he called me and he said, I want to hire you here. So I'm going to bring you up. Just observe the newsroom. Don't tell them why you're here, and I'll have you interview with the general manager. So I'm in the newsroom and I see him. He's real skinny and he's definitely a New York guy and he's wearing cowboy boots, which, you know, you can tell right away. Like the look is not working for him. And he puts his cowboy boots up on the desk. And at that time they had three newspapers in Dallas, the Fort Worth paper and two Dallas papers.
Fort Worth Star Telegram.
Yeah, Fort Worth Star Telegram, the
Dallas, Morning News,
and the Dallas Times Herald. Herald has gone out of business. I don't know if Fort Worth is still in business. But anyway, the papers are all spread out on the desk, and they all say that the soccer team is going to fold that day. And Silverstein says, "I think I smell the death of a franchise."
It's something very obvious, right?
Yeah.
It boots up on the desk like he was breaking some great news right there. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, the game was electric stuff. It was high tension. Mexico was battling back. England got a red card, so they were down a man. They're wheezing because the stadium's at altitude. It was rainy. It was hot. And they're just, you know, they're getting corner kick after corner kick down the last whatever minutes. The way soccer works, as you know, is there's extra time that the referee and only the referee has an idea of. He makes an arbitrary, like, I think there's about 5 minutes of extra time or 4 minutes or 2 minutes, whatever. But they don't reveal the extra time until the 90 minutes is up. So England is dying on the pitch. They're hanging on for dear life. There's like, we're in the 82nd minute. And if you're rooting for England, you're like, okay, there's 8 minutes left. Just hang in there for 8 minutes. They get to the 90-minute mark. The game should be over. And they announce 11 more minutes of time, which is a lot. And you're thinking England is going to drown in these 11 minutes. Not only do they survive the 11 minutes, but as they get to the 11 minutes past the regular time, the ref still isn't stopping the game because Mexico has a corner kick. And this is, again, another unofficial traditions of soccer is that the referee can say, well, the team that's trailing has the ball, they're making a run, or they've got a corner kick. I can't call the game now. This could be exciting. Let's let them try the corner kick and see if this happens. They let them do it twice last night. And I'm like, this is why soccer in this form will never make it in the States. We don't accept that. It's too vague. It's too fishy. We would not tolerate it. Now, that's just one thing of probably six or seven things that would prevent soccer from ever gaining a foothold at the highest level fan-wise. What else do you think is or would prevent soccer from really grabbing us as a nation?
Well, the number one thing is goals scored. You know,
too low scoring
is 1-0. Yeah, that's what they complain about. And yeah, the time clock, look at what we do in the NBA where we see
Tenths of a second. Leave the shooter's hand
in time for the backboard to light up, or did he get it off? And yeah, we're now, especially now with instant replay, we're all Zapruder film people. That's all we do.
Yeah.
It wouldn't work in here.
There's that. Somebody I thought very well put it on Twitter. They said there's 11 minutes of secret time left. And then in the 11 minutes, we'll find out how much double secret time there is left as well. A soccer aficionado reminded me that they only recently changed it so that they would tell you how much extra time. Once upon a time, they didn't even announce that.
Oh, really?
you had to watch past the 90th minute and trust that the referee was not completely being paid off by the team that needed to score to tie the game.
Yeah, it'd be like getting a table at Joe's Stone Crab. Like, could the coach walk up to him and put $50 in his pocket and say, give us another 3 minutes?
I suppose so. The other thing that was complete bullshit is that the game-winning goal was on a penalty kick by Harry Kane, who is England's star. Yeah. A kind of handsome guy, but his nose, Andy, is something else. You've seen close-ups of good old Harry Kane's face?
You know, I haven't spent a lot of time scouting Harry Kane's nose, but I'll take your word for it.
When you get a chance, it'll ring in your head. You'll be like, okay, next time I talk to Zabe, I'll have to say that. So okay. Harry Kane takes the winning penalty kick. Two problems I have with the penalty kick. It's too close. It's too easy. I know that in general play, it's about an 80% kick. In World Cup, it's trending closer to 65% because of the pressure. But
Right.
It's too easy, number one. And number two is, if a guy gets fouled in the box, anywhere in the box, you could have his back to the goal in the far corner of the larger 20-yard box, and they give him a point-blank kick on goal from 12 yards away. Like, it's ridiculous. But it's even worse than that because Kane took the PK, even though he wasn't fouled. There is no way in American sporting sense would we allow that, oh, you fouled Johnson, who's not that good, over in the corner of the box. Let's give Jones the automatic goal right in front of the net because he's our best kicker. Like, we would never allow that. And yet they do.
I mean, you could make the case that there are NBA players who don't get the benefit of the whistle because they're not as good as the superstars.
Right, but you don't let Steph Curry take the free throws for Draymond Green at the end of a basketball game. That's the equivalent right there. You shouldn't let somebody who didn't get fouled take the result of the foul. Like, to me, that's just common sense. But, oh well.
I agree.
Nate Silver agrees with me. He said the player who was fouled is the one who should take the penalty. Here's the funny thing, though, is that there's the soccer people, Andy, they get very angry when we, as the tourists to their game once every 4 years, start suggesting shit like, hey, you really ought to do it this way. They get very haughty, like, we're not telling you how to do your stuff. You should change your own rules. And we're like, oh, we change our rules in America in our sports all the fucking time, don't we?
We saved the sport, baseball, with the pitch clock.
Pitch clock has been a huge hit. They added the wild card, which at the time was very controversial and unpopular. I believe Bob Costas railed against the addition of the wild card, right?
Well, you eliminated pennant races, basically.
Right.
That's
we expand the wild card berths as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're always changing shit. And that's
more
what
TV.
I love. Yeah, and that's what I love about America. America is the country that says, we can maybe do this better, or we could certainly do this bigger. So there's that. Yeah. Andy, you have a big thing with jerseys. Mm-hmm. As an adult male, you generally don't believe somebody over the age of maybe
40
should be wearing a sports jersey. You have a rare exception, though, in that you will wear your Sonny Jurgensen jersey, your favorite player, your hero growing up for the Redskins, at home on rare occasions, correct?
Right. I've worn, when Sonny's number was retired, I wore his jersey to work, throwback jersey that I have. I also have a Daryl Green throwback jersey, which he wore, actually, in the 2002 season. It's not game worn, but it's a replica of that.
Okay.
When his number was retired, I did that. But sitting at a game with another person's jersey and his name on my back feels odd as an adult.
Okay.
now, you know, my son, when he was growing up, bought him a bunch of jerseys. He's not 40 yet. He's a huge Indiana fan and followed them, but did not wear Indiana jerseys when he was at their games. He has, sweatshirts and things like that that he wears, but... I think there's a time when you look like a schmuck wearing somebody else's jersey.
Yeah. What about guys that wear the jersey of a team not even in the game they're attending? So in other words, if it was an Eagles-Giants game and the guy is wearing a Cowboys jersey in the stands,
right,
that's a foul, right?
I will say this, though. Maybe I should make an exception for hockey. Because it's an awesome look when you go to a Capitals game and everybody's wearing a red jersey.
Okay.
That to me looks really good.
Okay. I would say, wearing the jersey of a team not even playing that day, that's a jersey foul. I would say that wearing the jersey of either a disgraced player, like if you had a Haynesworth jersey, that's a foul, or a player who has been convicted of a serious crime, like a Aaron Hernandez jersey or an O.J. Simpson jersey, that is a jersey foul.
How about this? You're wearing a Commanders jersey with a number 5 on it, but on the nameplate it says Shuler instead of Daniels.
Holy shit! That's like a multiple jersey foul thing because you're cross-pollinating a historical reference that never existed because Shuler played for the Redskins, not the Commanders, and you're picking a guy who sucked.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Yeah. And also was he Shuler went third overall. Yeah. Daniels went two, but Shuler is on the list of the biggest busts in history, and Daniels seems to be on his way to a great career.
Trying to think what's worse, wearing a Jaden Daniels 5, but it's the old Redskin jersey, although they're kind of bringing those back with these.
Yeah, alts. They're back. They're back fully. They'll just didn't say, you know, Commanders.
I know. Or what if you were to wear a Riggo jersey in Commanders colors and logo?
Well, here's the Riggo thing. As we know, as long as he's being paid, he's okay. And so he said, I will never have anything to do with the Commanders. I was a Redskin, and I'm going to leave it at that. And then Mitch Rail said, hey, would you like to use my private plane? We've got some events that we'll have you attend, and we will pay you. And now all of a sudden, Riggo's in. So
Riggo's back in the fold with the Commanders now? Because who's Mitch Rail?
He shows up. He has not shown up. I don't know if they're working yet to retire his jersey. I would think it's got to be next. He has shown up at Commander's events and has been a part of their promotions and things like that. Oh, yeah. He's right. Back in.
Who's Mitch Rails? Mitch Rails is the same guy that started 980, the radio station?
Yeah, but he's the second in terms of investors.
Oh, okay,
He's the top investor with Josh Harris next to – he's like number two in money invested in the team.
Okay. All right, but you missed my main point, which is how wrong would it be for a fan – to have a number 44 Riggins jersey, but it was skinned in Commanders logos and colors. That is not the throwback they're going to this year. In other words, it's the original shitty USFL expansion team Commanders. Like, that would be the dumbest jersey ever, but you could probably custom order it from somewhere.
Yeah, well, but those jerseys are pretty much phased out. They're going back for the main uniform to the jerseys they had.
I know they are, Andy. You're just you don't want to address my
I know what you're saying, but I, you know, I also saw, like, when the Sonny Jurgensen never wore the uniform that they went to in 1980. Okay. And I've seen jerseys like that. He had the Packer sleeves on his jersey. And
what does that mean?
To me, well, you know, I'm trying to describe the around the sleeves.
The stripe pattern. There was a stripes around the sleeve. Okay.
Yeah, and it was when Lombardi came in 1969, that's what they went to on their jerseys, and they wore that until 1980 when they switched to the more modern look that they wore during the Super Bowl years. Sonny retired after 74, so he never wore that. And I see these number 9 jerseys with that sleeve look, and I would say, that looks ridiculous, because he never wore that.
You are a historically accurate stickler for your boyhood idol, and I respect
that. I am.
All right, so just to get to my point here, I have your mother of all jersey fouls in sports. This, Andy, is Arizona Senator, what's his name? Mark Kelly, wearing a Mexico jersey at a watch party in the state of Arizona and gladly taking selfies with fans. Unbelievable bullshit, Mark Kelly. Like, come on, bro.
Well, he was rooting for Mexico, was he not?
He's a United States senator.
I understand, but the U.S. wasn't playing in that game.
They're our rival in CONCACAF.
Okay, but if they're playing the United States, I would not expect them in a Mexico jersey. But
it's okay for him to go to the event to glad hand for votes, because that's what politicians do. You cannot, as a sitting senator, put on a jersey of a rival nation. You're American. I don't care if they're not playing at the time.
Well, I went to a Ravens playoff game with my brother-in-law.
Well aware.
I did not wear, though.
Hold on, Andy. You touched something and you're muted now. No.
Okay.
There you go. Okay, good.
All right. He wanted me to wear a jersey. I did not wear a jersey. So I
oh, you didn't wear the jersey. Okay, yeah.
Did not, but I did root for the Ravens. I was there.
Yeah, how hard did you root for them?
Well, I was sitting with Raven fans, and when the Ravens scored, which wasn't enough because I think the Colts
lost
won
to the Colts, Peyton Manning, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think the Colts scored a touchdown either, but they won something like 15-7 or something.
You're right. Peyton Manning was incredible in that game because he just carefully picked that Ravens defense apart. It was a great Ravens defense. Ed Reed was one of the most savvy quarterback readers of anyone out there, and it was a chess match, and Peyton Manning won it, but it was a grind of a game. It was dink, 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 careful, dink, 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 and you're right, they won without a touchdown. So when they did something good, you were like, yay or yay?
No, cheers. I was with a group of fans rooting for the Ravens, so I rooted for them.
Okay. All right, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a blackjack guy. Always have been. It's the one casino game where your decisions actually matter. Hit or stand, double down, split. You're not just watching a slot machine and hoping for the best. MyBookie.ag has live dealer blackjack. Real person, on camera, dealing cards in real time. And a full casino beyond that. Roulette, craps, slots, poker, all of it right on your phone. New players get $25 in casino credit just for making a first deposit. Use promo code ZABE. Go try the tables on them. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart. Get paid.
Fine.
All right, moving on. You're a wedding guy. Right? You like weddings?
I do. Like to do the Kazatska weddings. Yes.
The Kazatska is the traditional, is it?
Dance where you get down and you kick your legs out. I'm not as spry as I used to be, but that was my move at weddings for a long time.
Is the Kazatska, is it Russian in heritage or is it?
Yeah.
Okay. But Russian Jews would do it a lot where you bend down and you're kicking out your knees while squatting. It's very physically demanding.
Yeah, it is. And I think I did my last one at my son's wedding. So that was 2 years ago. I don't anticipate doing it again, but I had a good run.
Yeah. Andy, that's great. You did that at age 66?
65 or 60, whatever it was. But I did not do it at the same level that I did it in my 30s,
right, with the amount of verve and stamina and everything else. Okay.
Yeah. It's
what did you make of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's wedding, for which there is no assets coming out just yet? Her security was airtight, and so obviously the only photos, videos that are going to come out will be at her choosing, probably on a DVD at some point. What did you make of the wedding?
I thought it was unusual because these type of weddings usually happen on an island and they have surveillance and maybe a helicopter gets pictures of it. The fact that they rented out Madison Square Garden was interesting to me. And the fact that there is little that has come out so far. I think somebody did get a cell phone picture of them coming down the aisle, but
could be AI. Don't get sucked in. There's a lot of fakeries out there that look like they're real. I'm not sure if that's the case.
This looked legit. Either way, it was a typical, bride and groom coming down the aisle. So it wasn't anything, revealing. But there also are some things coming out of this, like nobody from CBS was there, but there were a lot of Fox people, leading you to believe that when Kelce leaves, he's going to go and work for Fox.
Really? Interesting. Yeah. Like CBS sports people or news people?
Yeah, right. I mean, no Jim Nantz, people like that. And the Fox people were there.
Okay.
So that could play a role.
Did you see who officiated the wedding?
Yeah, I did. Adam Sandler. I thought that was cool.
He is apparently a mutual friend of both Kelce and Taylor Swift. And people are saying, so how did that go exactly? And may you live happily ever after. Shabba-doo-boo-goo-boo, shabba-goo-boo.
Let me say this about Adam Sandler, and you know this too. The years we did Radio Row, he was always making a movie that was coming out in the summer, and he would use Radio Row to promote it. And except for one occasion where things kind of went sideways and he was sick, he would come on and do 5 or 6 minutes with us, and act like it was the only show he was doing. I thought he was very gracious about that, and I always admired him for that.
He was the fucking best. And that was, like, that interview with him and our interview with Jack Nicklaus at Creighton Farms are two top-shelf ones because just the genuineness of it and the relative fame of it. Like, sure, Adam Sandler's not considered some acting genius. Mm-hmm. He's no Marlon Brando. I don't give a shit. He's made a ton of movies. I've laughed my ass off. And a spoof video about The Lonesome Kicker, which I still crack up at today. So to me, Adam Sandler hung the moon. So the fact that he was sitting there talking with us and he did treat us like we are the only interview was really cool when we were just part of the car wash.
Probably 20 of them that afternoon.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, he would bring his crew with him, you know, some of the other people who were in the movie with him.
Yeah.
And it really, I thought, it was a nice thing.
Yeah. Did you know that Terry and Arnold, the Lions cornerback who was released by the Lions because, well, you know, he's pending serious charges for armed robbery and kidnapping. He's now a free agent, and he's expected to visit multiple NFL teams who've expressed an interest in him. Right. I know these are just charges right now, that he was involved in this plot with his buddies to go pistol whip and get his shit back. But how can the NFL be this way, where they don't swoop in and go, no, 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 he's on a fucking list? They did this with Sorsby when it comes to gambling. They're like, okay, we're going to settle with your lawsuit about the supplemental draft. You followed that, right?
Oh, yeah. No, there's that one. And also, who's the running back?
Ray Rice.
That one too, right?
Rashee and Rice?
Ray Rice was one. And then before that
Kareem
was the
Hunt?
Running back who beat his kid with the switch.
Oh, Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson. Yeah. And they suspended it. I mean, this is conduct detrimental to the league. Did you hear what he's being, how it all came down?
Horrible. Yeah. That he was the ringleader. He's like, oh, you know, these guys stole some money from us and some jewelry. Well, we're going to get them back. They got two women to lure these guys into a hotel room with the promise,
they pistol whipped him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Arnold was just outside the whole thing going down in a car. He was texting with them, and he thought he was going to be slick by going, hey, man, I wasn't there. Like, technically you weren't there, but you were the ringleader, and cell phones have discoverable text message histories that a subpoena can get at, you dipshit.
Yeah, this is not the wild, wild west. We have police that handle these things.
It is sad. It is sad to think that this guy is not like a pro. It's not like getting Patrick Mahomes if you're willing to overlook some criminality. This is just a fucking cornerback. I mean, there's guys like this all over the place.
I don't think it matters, you know, how good a player he is. The fact of the matter is he's charged with a very serious crime. Let the justice system play out, but you don't have to let him play in the meantime.
I know. But my point is that it's sad to me that NFL teams have so little scruples when it comes to this, that they should at least say, this is not fucking worth it, this clown.
If you can play, you can play. And if they think that they can get something out of you, look, one of the great lines from Steve Spurrier, not in jail, is he?
God, isn't it funny that throwaway Spurrier quip has more juice and more legs than I ever thought it would?
Yeah, it was a player who had been charged with rape. He had been suspended from the league. Dan Snyder, as soon as he became eligible, took he and his mom out to dinner, signed him, told Spurrier that he was going to start him that weekend, and Spurrier decided to take the company line and asked about, well, what are you doing here? The guy just got here Tuesday. You're going to start him on Sunday? And well, he's not in jail, is he?
Spurrier really had a way, didn't he, of cutting right to the core of the issue.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Then there's this. Poor Diana Rossini can't get away from people who recognize her, and her husband was seen on a Bahamas cruise with her sons following the Mike Vrabel scandal. It's just the day and age we live in, Andy, isn't it? That there's cell phones everywhere and people will recognize you.
But she's got to know that. I mean, it's not like she got on that cruise and said, maybe nobody will recognize us. Her face is all over the place these days and has been. So
also, yeah. There's two things in this video I want to point out. Number one, that kid is too fucking big to be riding on Mama's hip. I know Rossini's petite, but come on, Andy, look at that. That kid needs to fucking walk.
Kids?
I don't give a shit. Look how big he is. Kid's a big kid. I'd say, you're walking. I'm not carrying you, but I'm tired, Mommy.
Do you think it was like a human shield that she thought she'd be less recognizable with a big kid on her hip?
I guess. And then there is the fact that her husband is just kind of walking behind her like, yep, just kind of going. That's a tough deal for him. Boy, yeah. I see a lot of counseling in their present and their future, I guess. But hey.
Well, and the kids are, I'm sure, a major factor in them still being together. I'm sure that's a huge part of it. Because he has a different last name. So it's not like when he puts his credit card down, people go, but still, and showing his face publicly too. Probably not the best thing. Although he is somewhat of a public figure, as I understand. Isn't he a big deal at Shake Shack? I think that's
what?
Possible.
He's a big deal at Shake Shack, meaning he's one of their best customers?
No. Well, from that picture, it looks like he has had a shake or two.
But, look at you, fat shaming.
No, he's like one of the CEOs of the company.
Oh, really? Okay, I had no idea.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's not. He doesn't need her salary necessarily. I think he's okay by himself.
Wouldn't mind a chunk of it, though. The reports from that New York Times article was that she made 800 grand a year.
Right. I don't know why
high or low.
That to me is not crazy. People at ESPN make millions of dollars. Adam Schefter reportedly makes $9 million a year.
No, so, I know, but that's ESPN and that's television. This is
but
the
if she was
going to
leave. She left she wasn't fired. She left ESPN for The Athletic. It had to be for a similar amount of money at least.
Well, she's probably making less at ESPN.
Not that much less though, I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's a great salary, don't get me wrong, but
no question.
She
was good. She was really good at what she did. But
really
what was she really good at
besides fucking coaches?
Here's what she was good at. And she did fulfill what they wanted her to do because you got to get the word out about The Athletic. It's still in the stages of their selling subscriptions. That's all they do. There's not any advertising there, as far as I know, that makes significant money. And so she was good on radio and television shows. She was good at doing that.
I don't think she converted a lot of people into subscribers.
I don't think it hurt. I think she was a visible presence for a company that is relatively new. It's not.
I would have hired four writers at 200 grand a piece instead of her at eight. But that's just me. She's also good at getting guys like you to simp for her. My mission is to get guys like you to stop simping for her just because she's a sporty, woman in the biz.
Okay, but she would go on the various shows, and she was a good performer on those shows.
Sure.
And that is part of why she was hired. If she was the typical, 250-pound balding sports writer, she wouldn't have had the impact that she had.
Okay.
And unfortunately, the way she gathered her information was not not the way it was supposed to be done.
It's like fishing with dynamite. It's easy. It's not ethical. Kaboom.
Exactly.
All right, lastly, there's this. If you've ever thought somebody had a bad game or a bad night, you have not had as bad of a night as this guy Jordan Henderson for England. He didn't play in the match. He got a yellow card from the sideline for just mouthing off to the ref. And then after the match, he broke his arm hopping over a digital signboard on the sideline. Here's the video. Whoop! And there he goes. Oy. Ow! Oy. Yay, yay, yay. Now look,
it
could happen to anyone, but I guess soccer players, because they don't ever use their arms, have spindly little arms. Like, do you even lift, bro? There he is hopping over, or not his teammate hopping over, but there he is right there, Andy, putting his left arm down to brace himself and kersnap.
Yeah, that's not good. And you would think he'd be more nimble on his feet because he does use his feet.
Yeah. His World Cup is over for as far as England makes it. And sorry, Jordan Henderson. As they say, those are the breaks. Okay, that was cheesy and that was bad. Andy, when are you going to Vermont, your annual summer retreat?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yes, the first week of August. I always go the first week of August, so I'll be there.
And I bet you're looking forward to it, given how hot it's been down here in the DMV.
It's been as hot as I can ever remember it here. I don't remember a stretch like this.
Yeah.
And it was, we spent a lot of it indoors. I went to a party on Saturday, a 4th of July party that was supposed to take place partly outside. Fortunately, the house was big enough. It took place totally inside.
Indoors. Wow. Mm-hmm. How about that? Yeah. S-A-W-F-T. Soft. But hey, do what you got to do. All right. Yeah. Andy, enjoy the match tonight. Can I text you during the match just in case there's anything sexy going on?
I mean, what do we do? I mean, it's not like, you know, they should have gone for it on fourth down there. I mean, what do we talk about? This is what the soccer people do, too. Oh, on sports radio, the only time you guys talk about it is during the World Cup. Yes, because we don't know what to talk about.
I'm going
to
text you going, our midfield attack is too disorganized. You know, fucking Pochettino needs to get them guys lined up. What the fuck?
Yeah. Did you see where he was on that corner kick? What is he doing?
That's right. How come our service balls are so erratic? We need to work harder on beating guys one-on-one. I'll send you something.
Right.
I'll go to Reddit. I'll find a complaint about something, and I'll just copy and paste so it sounds like you and I know what the fuck we're watching when we really don't.
I admit it. I don't, and when I talk about it on the air, I say, well, it's the end of this segment, and that's all I got because I got nothing else here. I don't know anything more about it.
Very good. Andy Pollan, always a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye, Zach.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have yourselves a Cracker Jack Tuesday, and we will see you next time.
I've got two tickets to paradise. Won't you pack your bags or leave tonight? I've got
The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it. Up to $500 back as free play, one-time rollover. Plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.